Well, let me introduce you to Suresh. Is that working? Do I point it? There we go. Suresh Jowatin. He's a pretty cool character there up on the screen. I was first introduced to Suresh when I was working at Hornsby Westfield back in 1999. And here's a picture of that occasion. If you've been to Hornsby Westfield, there's a clock fountain. And this guy spent a couple of days walking around this particular clock fountain. And not only was he walking around the clock fountain, but he was carrying a 4.5 kilogram brick, and he walked non-stop for 126 kilometers around this fountain, around and around. I went to work one day, he was there. I came back to work the next day, he was still there. I finished work, he was still there. This guy owns the Guinness World Records for how far he has walked carrying a brick unassisted. The second time I was introduced to him was in the Guinness Book of World Records in 2002. He actually set a record at Burwood Shopping Centre for walking up and down the escalators at Burwood Shopping Centre. And get this, he went 225 kilometres up and down the Burwood Westfield Shopping Centre escalators. And likewise for that, he set a world record. This guy's actually got over 30 world records. He's pretty much made it a habit to set world records, and he actually helps children around the world and raises money for charities as he does this. And the final one I thought I'd quickly show you is this one's. I watched a video of this one online the other day. This is in the CBD in Sydney, and he set a record for non-stop crawling on his hands and his knees, and he did 56.62 kilometers on his hands and his knees. And you can see him in this particular video, and his arms are wobbling, and he's on his hands and on his knees. Here is an incredible guy. He set a whole bunch of different world records, and a bunch of them have things to do with walking. Different types of walking, strange types of walking, carrying bricks on his hands and knees, up and down escalators. And so the question I've got for you today is, how do we walk? How are we to walk, not just down the street, but in life? How are we to go about living and walking as Christians? And Ephesians, which we're going to look at today, is a good book to turn to learn how it is we're to walk. Not in some crazy type of walks, not in some record-setting types of walking, but how are we to live and to walk as Christians? And so keep Ephesians open in front of you there, because in Ephesians, lots of it is about walking and how you walk the Christian life. And so Ephesians has six chapters. The first three chapters are all about what God has done, are all about how good God is and how God has made us alive with Jesus, how God has raised us up with Jesus. In Ephesians 2, we see that we were dead. We used to walk in the ways of the world, but God has made us alive. God has saved us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. God has rescued us. God has made us his friends. We've been saved. The term in chapter 2 is we've been saved by grace. That is, we don't do anything to be saved. We're saved totally by what Jesus has done. And so Ephesians chapter 1 to chapter 3, in the big picture, is all about Jesus and all about what he's done. The second half of the book, which is where we're going to spend our time this morning, chapters 4 through to chapter 6, is sort of the application. That is, chapters 1 to 3 was all about this is what God's done, this is who you were, this is who God has made you through Jesus, the heavy stuff. And then chapter 4 to 6 is, therefore, live like this. Therefore, walk like this in response to what God has done for you. In thinking about some of these things, a few years ago I was shown a diagram that really helped me to understand how all these things fit together. Here's a statement. Statement number one is good works, that is doing good stuff, leads to salvation. That is, you do good things, God will save you. The Bible shows us so clearly, Ephesians chapter 2, in fact every book of the Bible shows us clearly that we're not saved by what we do. The way we're saved is by what Jesus has done. Therefore, what's the place of good works? What's the place of living differently, walking differently? Well, it's once we are saved, once we've put our trust in Jesus, then we will live differently. Then we'll live a life of good works. then we'll be changed people. We're not saved by it, we're saved by Jesus and Jesus alone. And so it's important as we start this morning and as we look at some incredibly applicable things, things that will apply to your life. And there's so many things in here. We could spend a couple of weeks working through these verses. There's so many, just verse by verse. Here's how you need to live. Here's how you need to walk. You just need to remember this. Living differently is not how God will accept you. It's because God has accepted you, because of the work of Jesus, that we will live differently. And so what we're literally going to do in chapter 4, and we'll look at a couple of verses in chapter 5 as well, is we're just going to ask the question of Ephesians 4 and 5 in response to what Jesus has done for us by dying and rising again, and therefore being those who are saved by grace, how do we now live? How do we now walk? And so there's four things I really quickly want to show you from chapter 4 and chapter 5 on how we're to walk as Christians. I might quickly pray though, and just pray again that God would help us and God would be with us as we do this. How about you pray with me? Our gracious God, we thank you for speaking to us in the Bible, and we pray that you would help us now to understand how we're to live as Christians, how we're to walk as Christians. Please help us to know that we're not saved by how we walk, but we're saved by what Jesus has done. Please help us to trust him, and please help us now and speak to us now and know how to respond to him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. And so the first one, bang. The first one, live and walk different to the world. Have a look at verse number 17, chapter 4, verse 17. Make sure you keep your Bible out. It says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Now, just quickly, what's a Gentile? Who knows what a Gentile is? Shout it out.
A non-Jew.
Perfect. So the Jewish people were God's people in the Old Testament. And the Gentiles was everyone else, the non-Jews. And so my guess is that most of us here are probably from a non-Jewish background. And therefore, most of us here are Gentiles. And so there's a sense in which we are still Gentiles because we are still not Jewish. But there's also a sense in which we're not Gentiles anymore, because it doesn't matter whether you're a Gentile. What matters is you're a Christian. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. What matters is that you are Christian. You are in Christ. And so when it says Gentiles here in this verse, it's talking about the world and the way that the world lives. And so we are to live, we are to walk different from the world. We're to be different from people who don't belong to Jesus. Have a look at verse 18. It says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Christians are not to live like this. Christians are to be different from the world, are to be different from how they may have once lived before they became a Christian. And so in verse 22 there, just afterwards, it says, you were taught, chapter 4, verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, verse 23, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The way that the Christian is now to live is to be different. That's a key word, to be different from how they once walked and how they once lived. And different from how the rest of the world is living. Different from how they are walking. Now, here's a photo of me as a 14-year-old. I was a soccer player, as I said in the interview a bit earlier on, and I was a goalkeeper. One of the things I loved about being a goalkeeper was training in the mud. In the middle of winter, lots of rain, there was no grass, you're just playing on mud. I loved it. And by the end of training, I'd be an extra few kilograms because of all the mud that was carrying around on my tracksuit. And it would be disgusting, but it was beautiful. It was a fantastic thing. But do you know what the best thing about training in the mud was? The best thing about training in the mud was the shower at the end. How good was the shower at the end? There were hot showers at the place we used to train at. I'd jump in the shower with my clothes on. I'd take all the muddy clothes off. I'd wash all the mud away. Then I'd get out of the shower, and I put on clean clothes. Off with the old, off with the dirty, off with the impure, and I put on the clean, warm clothes. The picture in Ephesians is one of stripping off the old, grubby clothes. It's a picture of taking off the muddy, dirty, filthy, rotten clothes and putting on the new self, putting on the clean clothes. And so in the next little section there, you get a series of contrasts, a series of opposites, a series of taking off the negative, taking off the old clothes and putting on the positive, putting on the new clothes. And so in verse 25, I'll get you to quickly look down and talk with the person beside you very quickly. What's the negative there in verse 25? Have a look at it.
Lying.
You must put off falsehood. What's the positive? Shout it out. Though you can't answer all of them. Speak the truth to your neighbour.
Come on, guess it.
You know, the world, it likes to lie. And we sometimes like to lie. But if we're going to be Christian, if we're going to walk differently from the world, we're those that take away lies. We take those things off and we put on speaking truthfully. Have a look at verse 28. What's the negative thing in verse 28? Stealing. What's the positive? What's the positive? Verse 28. Doing something useful with your hands. Just a quick show of hands. Who's robbed a bank here? Okay, we've just got one bank robber. Generally, there's none when I normally ask that type of question. But do you know what? Whether you've robbed a bank or not, there are other ways that we steal. And something for teenagers, we steal when we copy someone else's songs from their CD onto our MP3 player. That's stealing. Just in the same way as walking into HMV or Sanity or JB Hi-Fi and picking up a CD and walking out with it is stealing. When you steal from someone else's CD and put it on your computer or put it on your MP3 player, that's stealing. If we're going to be Christians, just because all our friends at school might be doing that, parents, maybe you've got friends at work that get DVDs and they burn them and they steal a copy of them. You know, we need to be different. We need to get rid of stealing and do something useful with our hands. We're to work hard with our hands. Teenagers, that might mean at home, doing something useful with your hands might be doing the dishes without being asked. That could be a good application of doing something useful rather than stealing with your hands. Let's keep going. Have a look at our verse 29. What's the negative in there? Do not let...
unwholesome.
Yeah. Do not let unwholesome talk come from your mouth. What's the positive one? Have a look again.
Edification?
Yeah, the positive. Edification, that is. What's it say there? Only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I want you to think for a moment. What is it that comes out of your mouth? What are the words that come out of your mouth? Not just when you're at church on a Sunday and hanging out with your Christian friends, but at work, at school, wherever it might be. What is it that comes out of your mouth? You see, it's not just swearing that's the problem here. It's actually when we use our words to hassle each other. It's when we use our words to cut each other down. And Aussie culture loves to hassle each other. We need to be different from the rest of Australia. We need to be different from everyone else in our community. We need to be different. We need to be different in that we need to use our words to build others up, to encourage other people, to edify other people. Boys, that might mean you don't pay each other out. Boys like to do that. Girls, it might mean you may not be gossips. You may not be sharing stories about each other behind each other's backs. You know, it might be hard, but if we want to live God's way in God's world, we'll be different. If you're a Christian, most of us here are Christian, we need to get rid of the old self and we need to put on the new self. So how do Christians walk? They walk different from the rest of the world, different from our friends who do not know Jesus. Now the second way is to live and to walk in love. to live and to walk in love. Have a look at chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Make sure you can see a Bible. It says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." God wants us, God wants you to imitate him. God wants you to copy him. You know, when you copy someone at school in a test or an exam, you get in trouble. With God, he wants us to copy him. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to imitate him. Now, who's familiar with these? Does anyone know what that means? They're a bunch of bracelets. WWJD. Does anyone know what it stands for? What would Jesus do? There's some famous bracelets. There's lots of them going around. And it's a good question to ask in life. In a different situation, what would Jesus do? If Jesus were in this circumstance, from what I know from the Bible, well, how would he respond? How can I copy Jesus in this particular circumstance? You know, he lived a life of love. And so if we're going to copy Jesus, we will love others. Not just in a I love chocolate type of love or a I love my Xbox type of love, but a costly type of love. You see, in verse 2 there, what was the type of love that Jesus showed? It was a costly love. He gave himself up for us. Jesus laid down his life. He died upon the cross. That's how he demonstrates his love, in such a costly way. We are to be those who imitate Jesus, copy Jesus, and love people in a costly type of way. That might mean we love people it's hard to love. That might mean we love people who hate us, who call us names, who ridicule us, yet we still love them. How do Christians walk? In love, by copying Jesus. There's number two. Number three is live and walk as children of the light. Live and walk as children of light. Scan down a little bit further. Chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Verse 10. "And find out what pleases the Lord." We are to live and to walk as children of the light. That is, we aren't to walk in the darkness anymore. We're not to hide anymore. Part of walking in the light will be that we will no longer be living to please ourselves. But you see what it said in verse 10 there? We'll be living to please Jesus. We'll find out what pleases the Lord, it says there. And so back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, you don't need to look it up, but Paul prayed that the Ephesian Christians would know God better. Do you know what happens as you get to know God better? You'll know more and more what pleases him. As you know someone better, as you know them better, you'll know what pleases them more. Now, there's a picture that's going to flash up on the screen. That's Rowena and I. We've been married, as I said before, for almost 5 years. And each day, I get to know her better. I know that she likes me to make the beds. I know that that pleases her. And so I try and do it. I know that she likes me to do the dishes and to take the rubbish out. And so that pleases her, so I try to do it. I know that she likes to spend time with me, obviously. I know she likes it when I take the initiative in our relationship. I know what pleases her because I know her. And the more I get to know her, the more I know how to please her. Now, does that mean I always please her? Does that mean I always do the right thing? No, it doesn't. But the longer I know her, the more I know how I can please her. Now, it would be foolish of me not to try and do what pleases her, wouldn't it? If I'm married to her, I'd be an idiot if I just try to please myself all the time. It would be foolish of me not to try and please her. It would be foolish of all of us if we claim to be followers of Jesus, if we claim to be people of God, children of God, and be in a relationship with him, to find out what pleases him and then not try and do it. Does that make sense? As we get to know God better, we'll find out what pleases God, but then not to try and do what pleases God, we'd be crazy. Read the Bible. As you read the Bible, you will know what pleases him. You will know how to please Jesus. There's the third one. Live and walk as children of the light. Children who are seeking to please Jesus. The fourth and final one is live and walk not as unwise, but as wise. Have a look at chapter 5, verse 15. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And then it goes on for the next few verses explaining something of what it looks like to live as wise. That is, not foolish, not unwise. But I'll give you a quick look at verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You know, part of being wise is who you're going to be influenced by. When people are drunk, what are they under the influence of? They're under the influence of alcohol. But there's all sorts of different things that influence us, not just wine and alcohol. Our friends might influence us. Our peer pressure might influence us. The culture around us might influence us. We need to be those, verse 18, who are filled with the Spirit. Not influenced by wine, alcohol, or anything else, but we need to be under the influence of God's Spirit. That is, we need to be under the influence of God. How do you live a wise life? You live a life under the influence of the Creator of the universe. That is wisdom, recognizing that He is God and living His way. Well, at the beginning we met Suresh Joachim, and he's known for breaking records for the way that he walks. My question to you at the start was, how are we to now live and to walk? We're to be different, number one. We're to be loving, number two. We're to walk in the light, number three. And we're to be wise in the way that we live. What's the point? If you belong to God, how will you now live? You will live and walk God's way. That is, you'll take off the old shoes. You'll take off the way you used to live or the way that people in the world still live. And you'll put on the new shoes. And you'll walk God's way. You'll walk how He wants you to walk. But as we finish, let me remind you again that walking God's way doesn't make you God's person. It's the fact that Jesus has died upon the cross, that you've put your trust in Him. That's what makes you God's person. But now you are God's person, you walk differently. It's just like a prisoner. Someone in prison, just by taking your prison uniform off, doesn't make you a free person. You're released, then you take your prison uniform off. Does that make sense? A prisoner, they don't become a free person by taking their uniform off. They are a free person, and then they take their uniform off. God saves us. God frees us. And so in response, remember that diagram? We're not saved by what we do, but now we have been saved. We do stuff differently. We live differently. Now, just a really, really quick word. If you struggle to live God's way, that's okay. We're not expected to be perfect. We're not expected to get it all right. The fact that you are struggling is actually evidence that... And the fact that you're struggling and the fact that you want to live God's way is evidence that He's at work in you. And so I'm going to pray in a moment that we would see how good it is to live God's way, that God would help us to live His way, that we would praise Him for saving us and that He would help us to live differently. How about you pray with me? If you agree with what I pray, say amen at the end. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that we're saved by Him and Him alone. We thank you that we're saved by His death upon the cross for us. And we pray this morning you would help us again to keep trusting Jesus, to keep clinging to Him, to keep calling Him our Saviour. But we pray that as those who have been saved by Jesus, you would keep guiding us by your word to live differently, that we would live differently from the world around us, and that we would no longer live the old life, but that we would live your way, that we would walk in your footsteps, that we would live not for ourselves, but that we would live for our King Jesus, who died for us and was raised again. Please help us to be joyful in Jesus as we walk his way, and please help us as we struggle to keep trusting you and keep relying upon Jesus' death and not how we live. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray for all of these things. Amen.
Amen.